It's been over a month since the family of Adalberto Espinoza Sierra learned about his death, which has left them with many questions. I'm Aaliyah McConnell, and in part one of this series where I break down the details of this case, I sat down with the family to learn who Adalberto was and how the family is working through their loss. This year, Easter Sunday weighed heavily on the Espinoza Sierra family. On this day commemorating the resurrection of Christ for many, the Espinoza Sierra family says they dream that one day their beloved son, brother, and friend, Adalberto, will live again. Here's Elizabeth Sierra Navarro, the mother of the deceased 21-year-old, recalling a dream her youngest daughter had of Adalberto after their family got news that on March 8th, he was shot and killed inside of a parking garage downtown by officers of the Wilmington Police Department and deputies of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office.
She dreamed of him. She saw herself gazing at him, just staring and staring. She spoke to him and she embraced him, telling him that it was all a lie, meaning that he was actually alive. Then she woke up and she saw that it wasn't true.
As I've said, it's been over a month, and the family was left to contend with their loss and dozens of unanswered questions. And even though they'll never be able to see, hug, or talk to Adalberto again, they've vowed to keep his memory alive somehow. Just so all of our listeners are up to date with what happened on the night of March 8th, let me go over a few key details. WPD officers, along with deputies from the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office, were responding to a shooting that took place at the 2nd Street parking deck downtown, which resulted from two fights that broke out moments before. According to a WPD news release, when officers arrived, they found a man suffering from a gunshot wound. Officers spoke to witnesses as the gunshot victim, who was later identified as 26-year-old David Corpus, was transported to the hospital. Meanwhile, they detained several suspects in the process. Adalberto, who had apparently been badly injured in the fight that occurred earlier, was behind the wheel of his blue Dodge Charger, trying to exit the garage when officers attempted to flag him as a potential suspect. In the video, it appears that officers are calling out to him to stop the car. However, he continues to speed off. As the car whipped around the corner, officers discharged their weapons. According to WPD, they deployed their weapons after the vehicle accelerated, striking another vehicle and narrowly missing several officers. They believe the driver, Adalberto, to be an imminent threat. Video footage from bystanders of the fight and of the officer-involved shooting have circulated online, but it only paints part of the picture. Now, his family is on a mission to fully understand why this incident happened the way it did. And we'll have a part two of this story to discuss more of the nitty-gritty details of the fallout from the incident that led to Adalberto's death and how his family's been handling it. But for the purpose of this episode, let's remember Adalberto, who his friends and family lovingly refer to as Beto, for who he was. I spoke with Espinoza Sierra's family on Easter morning. I was joined by his sister, Genesis Espinoza Sierra, his father, Adalberto Espinoza Maldonado, and his mother, Elizabeth, who you heard from earlier. Now, here she is again.
He was an affectionate son and hardworking and a very respectful worker. He never disrespected anyone, always speaking to people with respect and good manners. At work, they miss him and loved him so much because he was just hardworking, polite, respectful young man, and he was the same way with me.
And this is his sister, Genesis, who shared some fond memories of him as well.
On my part, I would definitely say that, yeah, even though me and my brother were not very close, I knew my brother. And my brother, he was very, 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 very funny. Whenever you would see him, he would just have a smile on his face. And you would be like, why are you so happy, you know? He was like, I don't know. It's like he never had a lot of money, but he was always very, very happy. And I was like, that's very admirable because not a lot of people can be content with their lives.
His sister, Genesis, who is 19 years old, says even though she and her brother weren't that close, the love he had for his family was always felt. And she was no exception. And according to his family, Edilberto had a lot of love to share with everyone, almost too much.
I won't lie, my brother was handsome, you know. He had a couple girlfriends, you know, for his age, you know. Actually, that same night that the event had occurred, he had gone up to his car because he was about to go, after the first initial conflict, he went up to his car because he was going to go see a girl. And he had even called her before the other fight broke out.
She says three of his girlfriends came to pay their respects at his funeral, describing them as crying and comforting each other.
They still came because, you know, they knew deep down he didn't deserve that. He didn't. And he was still such a loving guy, a little too loving, but yeah. One of them spoke and talked about how she has a baby, and he would change that baby's diaper, even though that wasn't his kid. And he would stay with the baby and sleep with the baby in his room.
Genesis says that just goes to show the kind of character Edilberto had. He cherished family and even aspired to start one of his own one day.
He wanted a baby and he wanted to have that responsibility and to take care of that kid and, you know, to have that to push him forward more because he already did so much for his family. And, you know, it's just so sad to think that he's, you know, that got taken away from him. In the words of my own mom, you know, the police murdered him. They took all these opportunities away from him.
The family's frustration over this situation is understandable. But we want to note that the accusation of murder is a strong one. But the actual process of bringing charges against any law enforcement officer is a long one. In this case, starting with an SBI review of the shooting, which is still underway. Their mother shared the same sentiment.
He had so many aspirations. He had even gone back to school and was working. My son said, I want to have my own business. Yes, he really wanted to own a business one day. He dreamed of so many things, having a family, having children. But instead, they killed him. The police killed him. I still don't understand why they killed him.
I met up with the family at their home in rural Wallace by following a road contoured by farmland so vast it would take hours to trek, until a humble one-story home emerged from a lush green vale. Stepping out of the car, I was greeted by a flock of chickens and a newborn kitten being groomed by its mother, and then a perky chihuahua gleefully leapt out of the front door along with its human, who I recognized as Genesis Espinosa Sierra. Together, they ushered me inside the home. Once inside, I caught up with Genesis and her family as they prepared for a cookout.
We all originate, well, except probably the younger ones.
Yeah, yeah.
We all originate from Honduras.
Yeah.
We've been here like at least 20 plus years. Yeah. All Duplin County babies. Yeah, we all kind of grew up together, me and my cousins.
Here's Edilberto's uncle, Selvin Espinosa, speaking proudly of his nephew for being the only one out of his siblings and cousins to go back to Honduras and experience the banana plantation that he and his brother, Edilberto Sr., grew up on.
My son went to Honduras, but never went to the banana plantation.
No.
But Betito is the only one so far that went to the banana plantation. Wow. Okay. And walk where we used to walk as a young age. So he was the only one. Oh. Yeah, he said he liked it. He liked it. I mean, the way life is over there. But he loves, Dominicana. I mean.
As part of my visit, I toured Edilberto's room while one of his aunts refreshed the vermilion paint on his walls. It was modest in size and sort of utilitarian in a way. Aside from a few mementos, there was a bed, nightstands on either side of it, and a dresser. All the basic bedroom needs. No more, no less. As his family has said, he really didn't need much to be happy. Here's Genesis, guiding me through some of his keepsakes.
He used to play soccer. These are all his soccer tournament,
trophies.
His trophies, yeah. Let me see. Oh, this is another soccer trophy. Yeah, he was real. He may have been chunky, but he was athletic.
Surprisingly very athletic young man.
And sitting near his bed, I noticed a small teddy bear.
It was a Build-A-Bear, and my mom had left it a message in there for him. And it's just also because, like, I mean, he was still a kid. I'm sorry, but if you're living with your parents, you're still a kid. Like, you're still very much, like, I'm not saying he wasn't a grown man paying taxes and, like, obviously, like, working and stuff. But, I mean, you're still with your parents. You haven't even had a child yet. You haven't even lived. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? So it was just kind of to show that kind of, like, kid aspect of him. And then this is just, like, my little sister made this one. It said Forever 21, but it kind of, like, the letters ripped off a little bit, but... You know, because he is forever 21 now. Oh, they have... this is one of the verses that we're actually burying him with. Basically, it's, in God only, my soul is quiet, and from him comes my salvation. So that's like, that might not be the right translation. I just translated it from the Spanish one, so I might be a little bit wrong. But that's the one we're burying him with, and we have his obituary here.
That verse Genesis is reciting is Psalms 62:1, and it says... For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. She says her brother wasn't overtly religious, but he kept reminders of his faith, like crosses and Florida water, which is a type of citrus-scented cologne used for religious or spiritual practices in the Caribbean and Americas. And he even had an offering table dedicated to family members who've crossed over. Now, his room is kept up in the same vein as what looks to be his ofrenda, which is a different type of altar for people who have passed on. Or think of it as a time capsule of his life that keeps the memory of him alive.
You know, and I feel like it does help us in a sense, though, because, like I said, we didn't get to have those last moments. I feel like there is an aspect to be missed, of course, but... I feel like a lot of times in Hispanic cultures, death is very celebrated. And not in the sense of like, oh, we're happy, like, da, 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 but in the sense that you want to celebrate the life they had, not the death that they had. You know what I mean? Because Betito, for a 21-year-old, lived a very, very, very joyful life. Like, he was just always smiling and giggling and laughing. And, you know, he tried to live his life to the fullest.
As anyone can imagine, the grieving process has been a lot for the family. Especially after losing someone so suddenly and in such a violent way. Members of the family say it's an especially heavy burden for Edilberto's mother to bear. Here's Edilberto's aunt, Marlene Gonzalez, speaking on the impact Beto's death has had on his mother.
So, you know, my sister-in-law, she go to the cemetery every single day. Yeah. In the morning, in the afternoon, she cried a lot. She stayed there, asking her son, come alive. You know, it's very painful, yeah.
And here's his mother, Elizabeth Sierra Navarro, once again, putting those emotions in her own words.
Emocionalmente.
Emotionally, I feel like I'm just living dead. I feel like I'm just walking. He was very close to his little sister. She dreamed of him. She saw herself gazing at him, just staring and staring. She spoke to him, and she embraced him, telling him that it was all a lie, meaning that he was actually alive. Then she woke up, and, well, she saw that it wasn't true.
And my mom finds herself asking the same questions. How do you tell somebody who's already gone from this world, from this planet, from this, you know, life to come back? She visits his grave every day and asks him that and asks why. I feel like this will always stay with us.
The family has started an online petition addressed to all Wilmington City Council members, requesting the release of the names of the 7 officers responsible for shooting Edilberto and release of the body cam footage, as well as charges brought against the officers involved in the shooting. But just a note here, because of state law, releasing law enforcement video can be a difficult process, requiring a judge's order. While City Council can't unilaterally release the body cam footage, even from city police officers, they could support requests for it to be made public. Likewise, the decision to charge officers is out of the city's hands. It would begin with the ongoing SBI investigation and then fall on the district attorney's office. But in the petition, it states, quote, supporting this petition means placing public pressure on the agencies and organizations that are either complicit in Edilberto's murder or have the power to facilitate justice. It means allowing the family to grieve without the distraction of confusion and outrage. It means upholding the memory of Edilberto, who was known to everyone as a kind, beautiful soul and will be dearly missed. Genesis actively canvasses for signatures, finding public spaces to share Edilberto's story face-to-face with the people of this community. And so far, out of a goal of 800 signatures, the petition has 612.
A lot of people can, even just hearing from the story or seeing it on the news, agree. And I'm very glad to, because obviously there's always that doubt that one has to how the media will perceive things. And it's been a great support what people have done for us, because it shows that this city wants a change. So they want these 3 demands to be met just as much as we do. And I'm grateful to anybody who has signed this and has even just reached out and given us these videos, because without this community and without these people who are so willing to help us, we would not have half the information we have right now. And if anybody has any more videos, please send them to us.
The family says, like the officers involved, they want those involved in the altercations to be brought to justice as well. However, they did not disclose exactly to what extent or if they'd be seeking legal action. Stay tuned for part 2 of this story, where we'll dive deeper into the incident itself, and we'll also hear from Edilberto Espinoza Maldonado, Beto's father, to discuss what information could be gleaned from the vehicle. There will also be photos and more information about this story available at whqr.org. I'm Aaliyah McConnell. Thank you to the Espinoza Sierra family for sharing their story with us. And thanks to our voiceover actress for helping with the translations in this episode. And thank you for listening to WHQR.